You know what? I was just thinking about this as I'm adjusting the volume on our intro music here. This is going to be so much better for you in the editing process because we're doing it live. And so it's just recording properly. Like,
get it live and direct. What's up, y'all?
Dude, hold on, hold on. You wasted yours. Cheers, motherfucker.
Cheers,
dude,
man.
Dude, a very rare instance of us being together. I mean, not fully, because Matt's not here. He's out changing tires somewhere. But we're here together nonetheless. So,
yeah, rock, paper, scissors hits totally different like this.
What's up, man?
Man, I don't know. All I can say is Planes, Trains, Automobiles can't hold us back. We got here.
One way or another.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I know it's been a couple weeks. Got a lot of stuff working, cooking in the background. By the time you hear this, you would have heard the interview with Dan Michael Jedrick. Sorry, Dan. I hope I got that right. Which I had an absolute blast just kind of sitting with, getting to know him better. I mean, we've made friends on Instagram and he sent me some stuff and we even talk on text messages and, he's a really great dude. So I hope everybody really enjoyed that interview.
I know I did.
Nice. But the bigger thing that's been cooking in the background is Mutant City Horror is presenting the first annual Happy Fright Films Festival presented by Mutant City Horror, hosted by the Fillmore Town Theater here in my little ass town of Fillmore. So by the time you're hearing this, there's probably some time left. Let me do the math in my head. What's Monday? 17.
It's the first day of the week.
30.
Are you doing long division, bro?
Maths are hard. So Dan,
so am I.
Dude, I've noticed. I thought it was just an optical illusion, you know, like it's the pleats.
It's just what makes it look bigger.
The pleats in the pants. What I'm saying is there is still time between the moment you're hearing this to when that actual film fest is going to happen. So go buy some tickets, happyfrightfilmfest.com, or you can check out at Mutant City Horror on Instagram, at Happy Frights, Happy Fright. Fuck, dude, I don't know. Just go check the Instagram. It's all there. You'll be able to find it. If it's on Eventbrite, tickets are $15.
That's it?
Dude, that's it.
That's such a deal.
And that includes, so that's Saturday. That includes when you buy the ticket for $15, you get entrance to the movie on Friday night.
No shit.
Which is Night of the Living Dead's 16mm print, original George Romero. So we're doing Night of the Living Dead Friday night and then the film fest on Saturday. $15 gets you into both. So, or you can buy a standalone ticket for Night of the Living Dead for $5.
Hell yeah. When else are you going to go ahead and catch it on fucking 16mm film?
That's what I'm saying,
dude. Intended to be seen.
That's what I'm saying.
That's badass.
So, a lot of that stuff kind of cooking in the background. Working on having some vendors come out. We're going to have some special guests come out. I'll be moderating the Q&A session for a couple of the movies that are going to be shown. What else? Man, just a ton of stuff. We've got Pancho Moeller. I don't know if you know who Pancho Moeller is.
Isn't that what I had removed?
That one was an ouchie molar.
Ouchie molar.
Now, Pancho's a little person who was in 31, Three from Hell, yes. A couple Rob Zombie movies. He's doing stand-up comedy now, so he's going to come out, do stand-up comedy at the film fest. We've got a ghoul rockabilly band called Six Silver Bullets. It's coming out to do live music as well. So like, dude, for $15, it's a fucking steal.
You ain't going to find a better deal.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. So check it out. Find us at Mutant City Horror on Instagram. You'll have all the links there to all the stuff, tickets, websites, all that shit.
You can even email Paul direct. Paul@MutantCityHorror.com.
There you go. There you go.
That's not it though.
I don't know. I just feel like there's so much, dude.
There is so much.
What else am I missing?
I don't know. But we got a badass movie ahead of us.
Yeah, we do. So it was funny because I remember when we finished up watching First Power, I was like, we should do a creature feature next.
Yep. Yeah, you did.
And then you came with it like almost immediately.
Well, I mean, I didn't want you to wait.
I appreciate that, and I'm glad we didn't, because this movie was fucking awesome. You gonna tell everybody what we're talking about?
No, I wanted to keep the fucking thing going. I mean, all right. I went ahead and found a recent release, 2020, a movie called Cyst, directed by Tyler Russell, and it stars some people in it. Yeah, but that's not how we enter a movie.
No, it's not. So let me go ahead and do this, our service, and then our typical Matt intro, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah.
Because it seems very awkward at the moment.
It absolutely does. Like, why? What am I going to do with my hands? Do I keep them above the table so you know I'm not doing nothing false below the table? It's so funny how,
like, we get comfortable with, like, being away from each other. And then we're always talking about, man, we need to do this live. It'd be dope if we were all together. And then here we are, and we're like, oh, it feels weird.
Excuse me, but what do I do now?
All right. Tonight, the monsters are running amok. And we head towards that theater where the marquee now reads, Cyst.
That's a good one. It's nice and juicy. Can you feel that?
Clearly.
Can you feel that?
We'll get this out sooner than later, okay? I've invented a machine that removes a cyst just like that.
Guy's been throwing himself into this machine for years.
This machine is dangerous.
Relax, Patty. It's gonna work this time.
Guy's just been really difficult this morning.
Probably nervous today.
But why?
The patent examiners are coming.
It is so nice to see you again.
This new unit features a patented...
That's not patented yet.
Let's talk about the damn machine!
I'm getting that patent.
Let's blast this thing.
Oh, thank God.
It worked.
As soon as I get out of here, I am going to sign that patent paperwork.
You mean it?
As I live and breathe.
A 2020 movie directed by Tyler Russell, starring Ava Haberman, George Hardy, and Greg Sestero. Sestero?
Sounds good to me.
I like Sestero better.
It does. It sounds pretty cool.
It rolls off the tongue better. Okay, so now is your turn.
All right.
Tell us what Cyst is.
I mean, Cyst is exactly what it sounds like. This is a cool flick because it takes place in 1960. So it gives you that, like, old throwback vibe where a nurse, it's her last day of work, and the doctor is pushing to get a patent approved on that day. And that's where we fall into the movie.
Now, before we get into the movie, I got to tell you, just looking at the artwork for the movie had me sold.
Absolutely.
I was like, it looks dope. It's in that, like, very kind of like Tales from the Crypt comic book type style. But it also is just like, it's just a picture of like all, like someone's open back, like they can tell that where they're in like a hospital gown, and then it's someone's back, and it's all these like orangey yellowish, like pus, like bubbles. And there's like a slit in the back where there's an eyeball coming out, and it's just got like some juices running down it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fucking gross, dude. And when I saw it, I was like, that looks dope, and I can't wait to watch this movie.
Yeah, that's the way you're supposed to feel when you see that shit, because it is dope.
All right, so the movie opens with us fucking watching and getting introduced. Well, I'll say this. We get introduced to some of our main characters here. The first one is George Hardy. He plays Dr. Guy. And I got to say, Dr. Guy is such a great name for a doctor, because it's so generic enough where I feel like that would be something that I would like. That's something I would do, or name. That's a name I would name a character. It's just Guy, you know, so just kind of to the point. So the fact that his name was Dr. Guy was like on point for me.
Cool thing is, Dr. Guy is also played by the same dude who stars in Trolls 2, which we were talking about just before the recording of this.
I have a feeling that's going to come back up again.
I have a feeling.
Okay, So Dr. Guy is also, so he's in this room with one of his patients and his nurse, and his nurse is Patricia, played by Ava Habermann. And you had some fun facts on Ava Habermann.
Well, the way I ended up finding out about this movie, actually, was I went down the whole Trolls 2 shallow hole, only to go ahead and come to the point where, did you know there was a fucking other Trolls movie? Like, that series did not, not end until with you
told
two.
Me like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. So they had done in 2019 a movie called Under Control, which also stars the same Ava Habermann and Dr. Guy, played by George Hardy. That is what actually ended up taking me over to find Cyst. I was like blown away by the artwork, the whole premise, and that brought us to today.
You know, it'd be a fun game is to like list all the other kind of like troll movies you can make, like playing on the word troll, right? So like, so what number is Under Control? Is that number 3 in the series or number 4?
I don't know. Let's call it 3.
Okay. So Trolls 4, Comptroller. The trolls go to work.
They're running the government.
Well, I mean, if you look at some of them, they are a little trollish.
To be fair, I think the trolls might do a better job.
Less taxes.
I mean, yeah. What were the trolls' thing? What was their thing? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It wasn't like the leprechaun with gold. They had something, though, that they wanted.
Trolls?
Yeah.
Well, bridge trolls want the troll tax. That you have to pay a tax to go over their bridge.
No rolls and no tolls. Can't there get no rolls if you ain't got no tolls.
I guess not.
I said that backwards.
That reminds me of Always Sunny.
Yeah.
You got to pay the troll toll?
Yes.
To get into the boys' hole? To the boys' hole.
This is a fucking upgraded show. We don't have to go down there.
Nah, sorry. That's what happens when you put drinks in me. Okay, so.
Oh, there's Trolls World. No, that is Control.
Is that trolls or like the trolls with the hair and the little like diamond in their belly or whatever? Is that different trolls?
You mean like the ones that sing?
Yes.
No, I don't know. That might be the same. No, what it is Troll World was an alternate title to Troll Control.
Comptroller?
Whatever the fuck that name was. It was a franchise that I shouldn't have been going down that rabbit hole, but I did anyways, because you know what? I do it for you, the fans.
I'm sure they appreciate that. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Okay, so in this room, we've got Dr. Guy, we've got Patricia, and then we've got a patient. But the thing about this patient, and we get the impression that, you know, Dr. Guy is like a dermatologist or whatever, is that she's in there with this big fucking cyst on like her shoulder.
Yeah, like she's got another head.
But it made me think like, okay, maybe this one is just that fucking large. Like it's bigger than a golf ball for sure, dude. And it's just on her shoulder and it's red and they fucking squeeze it and all the pus comes out and it hits the nurse in her face and it's juicy and it's fucking gross, dude. Perla and I were watching it and we started gagging a little bit. Like I was surprised how much my gag reflex was kicking in watching this movie. Nice. At least in the beginning, dude, because it's legit gross.
So I think that's part of the fact that it takes place in the 60s, because in the 60s, you don't have the same modern medicine, the same like attachment to like pull up WebMD and take a peek. Instead, you wait until you finally get to the doctor and it's a fucking big ass cyst on your neck and like you gotta get it taken off.
Not like that, dude. That is way too big. That's way too fucking big.
It's like my fucking bear claw fist on her shoulder. It's mad. It is massive. But I mean, you couldn't tell until she took off her little wrap. Like,
that's true. Okay, so they're cleaning up this patient or whatever. It's gross. Patricia walks out and she walks over to the waiting room. She's talking to the receptionist there. And, you know, they're making small talk about how, like, Dr. Guy is kind of on one today, but we find out it's because they have guests coming. Do we remember why the guests are coming?
Yeah. Dr. Guy has been working on some new apparatus that he's fighting to get a patent on so that he can sell it in the general public.
The patent examiners are coming.
No, they're not coming today.
He didn't tell you?
Yeah, so he's a little bit on edge. Yeah.
And we kind of find out this isn't the first time they've been here.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So like he's nervous.
Now we're also introduced to a couple other characters. First and foremost is Preston. He is a intern with Dr. Guy. And then in the lobby, so he's in the room too with Patricia before she walks out. But then when she's in the lobby talking to the receptionist, hello, we also meet Mr. Sherman, played by Gene Jones, who's like an older kind of gentleman waiting to see the doctor, but he's impatient about it.
I believe it's my turn to be seen now.
Sir.
You just called my name.
Yeah. Sherman.
Eugene Sherman?
No, sir. Go sit down.
And I don't know, he's not like big tied into the story, but I thought it was like a good comical kind of add-in where like he's just always insisting that it's his turn.
Don't call my name if you're not ready.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
But I was just forgetting that it's not his turn.
Oh, you didn't say my name. And the receptionist, Tammy, she's paid by Katrudra Brown. And she has a pretty good role in the movie because we see her pretty consistently throughout the flick.
She does. I don't think it's a spoiler alert, but she does make it through like, I'll say 90 to 95% of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this is where we're learning. The patent officers are coming through. The doctor guy's got a machine he's been working on. And Tammy, the receptionist, is talking to Patricia about it. And she's like, are you like recovered from the last one? Mm-hmm. And so what we find is that like Patricia's got like the scar on her arm and just kind of alluding to the fact that like this machine isn't working the way that it's supposed to. And we're not really sure what the machine is supposed to do quite yet. But we can see that it's been tested, it's been used, it hasn't been going well, which kind of reinforces Dr. Guy's like, you know, stick up his ass that day because it hasn't been going well.
Right.
It's not the first time they've been out and, you know, he's nervous about them coming through.
And it's also Patricia's last day.
That, yes, yes. And I think that's why the intern is there too, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so they bring in this, the new patient.
Now seeing Carol.
Are you sure you don't want to see Mr. Sherman? I thought I heard another name. Maybe there's a mix-up.
And this other patient. And younger girl, they bring her to the back, and she takes off her scarf. And again, this big fucking bulging red sore fucking gross looking growth on the side of her neck. And I think it was at this point where I was like, dude, was it like that in the 60s where, like, to your point, people just didn't give a fuck and go to the doctor? I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like people had more trust in their healthcare system. Maybe it was even better at that point, so people were more apt to go. And I don't feel like they would let that get to that point. Look at it.
I disagree.
Look at it.
I see it. And she's a very attractive girl. And this ingrown hair went out of fucking control. But like at the end of the day, people didn't have necessarily the same access to information and to healthcare that we have today. And sometimes you do just let it ride. You can't afford it. You can't necessarily, I don't know. I'll give a million reasons why you let something go ahead and go a little too far like this cyst. But long story short, here we are.
All right.
Maybe they couldn't get an appointment.
Oh, okay. I feel like that was less of a problem then than it is now.
Maybe.
Okay, so she's up on the table. She's like, let me go get the doctor, and you just hang tight. So Patricia goes to get the doctor, but what she sees when she leaves the room and goes over to the other through the window is that Dr. Guy and Patrick, the intern.
Preston.
Yes.
The other Pete.
Yes. They're looking at this machine.
Clean incision on the area. I've tested it on numerous test subjects.
Like rats?
No. Human tissue, son.
Right, of course.
You think you might do it for me today?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I might even hire you full time.
Oh, gosh, that would be great. I could really use the extra money right now.
Let's just don't talk about that yet. You can't put and a price tag on experience.
It's classic 60s tech where it's just like a round screen with nothing on it and all these like knobs and like turn buttons or whatever. And it's just very, very like you can't tell what it is by looking at it.
Yeah, it looks like it's got like a little sonar beep, boop, beep, boop kind of going. And very, very like something out of a 60s sci-fi movie.
Totally. So Patricia walks in, trying to get them to come and say, hey, it's time to go look at the new patient that's in the room. But she also takes the opportunity to like help excuse the intern so she could talk to him about like what's about to happen for the day.
Yeah, she's going to get mad at the doctor because she had alluded to the fact that they had attempted to use the machine to remove something from her, which caused a scar and didn't go well. And now here's the doctor trying to like push it to get his patent. And she's like, I don't think you should do that. I don't think it's a good idea.
So is this like her last ditch effort to get him not to do it? Because if she knew that the patent officers were coming, she would have to have known that he was going to have to use it, right?
Yeah, I think that's the case. But at the same time, like, this is her last stand to say like, well, fuck this. You can't fire me. It's my last day. So maybe I'm going to say what I need to say.
All right. So they're back in the room. They actually bring the girl into the other room where the machine is gone or where the machine is. And I think this is where we finally, like, we find out what the name of this machine is because he's like talking to the patient about,
can you feel that? How was that?
Not too bad.
Well, Carol, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate it for pain?
Probably a 4.
4? I'm afraid that's high for this type of procedure. I'm afraid it's going to get a lot more painful if that's the way it feels now.
It is.
Yeah. Carol, I would like to offer you an exclusive that I do for certain patients with this type of pain tolerance.
Okay.
I've invented a machine that virtually performs this operation pain-free, and it removes the cyst just like that. I call it the get gone.
He's like, or...
Okay. Let's just do it the old-fashioned way. The more expensive way. The less efficient way. The less practical way. And the much more painful way.
So, you know, Patricia is like giving him some side eye, like, you motherfucker. Like,
well, I mean, he's not selling it very cleanly. He's being like, we've got this really old, painful way we can do it, or this new wave, painless way we can do it. Which way do you want to go? One's going to leave a lot of scarring, lady, and one's not going to leave so much.
Which, I mean, she's doing an okay job. To me, in my opinion, like, he was selling it, and she was like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she turns around and sees the machine, and she's like, no. And he's like, okay, are you sure? And Patricia gets mad, and she's like, she said no. And he's like, okay.
Now, let's get started.
Yeah, but when he says okay, what does he do in retaliation?
Dude, it's so gross. He walks over to this, like, I don't even know, like, how to equate it to what. Like, it's just a big fucking growth on the side of her neck. And he punctures a hole in it and squeezes it at the same time.
Well, how was that?
I think you should just call me by surprise a little bit.
Well, you want to use the get gone.
Oh, no.
And it looks like if you were to, like, take a ketchup bottle and just, like, like, wow. Whitish texture. It almost looked like, because it hits Patty in the face. So it almost looks like, you know, someone's like, you know, Betty. Jizzing in her face. Yeah. Like, it's gross. Like, but comically, but it's still fucking gross, man. It reminds me of all that Dr. pimple popper shit. Yes. And like, I can't watch that stuff either, dude.
But that shit hits her in the, I mean, it drenches her. Like, that's not even right. It gets her in the face good.
Well, yeah. So he does that and then, like, you know, milks it a little bit, mm-hmm. or like, you know, leaks it out a little bit. And then he's like, are you sure? You sure you want to do this? Like, and it's expensive. And, you know, and she's like, yeah. And again, Patty's like, dude, motherfucker. She said, no.
Right? You got to have someone to be on your side.
Okay. So. It's fucking gross, dude.
Right then it squirted.
Oh, dude, I'm surprised fucking Philip there didn't just like throw up all over himself.
I mean, it just goes to show how fucking professional Ava Haberman is, because once he starts really milking that thing, I mean, it, she is like in a wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, totally, dude. It's so gross.
I mean, it's in her mouth. It's all, oh, gosh.
So it is all over the place. The doctor's like sending Patty to go away to say, hey, go get Clarence, the fucking housekeeping guy. He'll come clean it up. And then when he comes into the room, he sees everything and is like, oh, shit. It's almost like Jaws where they're like, we're going to need a bigger boat. Oh. His enema was like, I'm going to need your a bigger bucket. Yeah, dude.
And then he like quietly comes in and just jacks a scalpel. Like, what?
Which I didn't notice at first, but I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah. And then while they're trying to sell the lady on the new procedure, they release the name of the machine.
Which I thought was a dope ass name.
Is the Get Gone.
Get Gone.
Gotta get gone.
We're going to get gone. Got sis?
Get gone.
Get gone.
Go on, get.
So... again, she doesn't want to do it. So, okay, fine. So now it's about taking Peter, the intern, and using him to use as like a guinea pig for the purposes of having the patent officers see the demonstration, see how it works, and kind of, you know, get his patent, because that's what he's striving for.
That's right. You need to demonstrate its removal live on a real test subject. So if it's not going to be her, it's going to be this new intern.
So he goes to start prepping Paul. No, I can't get this guy's name right. They couldn't get it right in Preston. The movie either. He kept calling him different names. Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to get you to identify what I was doing there, but I guess it didn't work. Because Dr. Guy keeps calling him different names, so I started calling him different names, but you weren't picking up on it. My so I'm bad. Just going to stop doing that.
I'm drinking.
Okay, so it turns out Preston does have a little bit of a cyst on his back, but it's not big enough for the Get Gone, or at least for like the show that Dr. Guy wants to put on.
That looks a little small.
I thought it was acne.
Do you have any other spots I don't know about?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Dr. Guy's got this like ointment that he can put on the cyst on Preston's back to make it a little bit bigger. So that way when they go to actually do the demonstration, it's a little grosser, it's a little larger, and it like maybe makes that whole process a little bit more impactful, if you will.
I'm gonna put some treatment on this to make absolutely sure we get the full potential of the Get Gone.
What do you mean?
I'm gonna grow this so that it gets bigger. A small price to pay to get you down in the history books.
I just want to keep my job, sir.
Well, keep it up. You might not have to worry about working again. Heck, you might even get paid if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's like fucking with the zit a lot without popping it, you know? Like, he's like smacking it around, trying to get it, say who's its daddy, you know?
You know how like when you buy pizza and you get like a pepperoni pizza and it's got like that grease, the orange grease from the pepperoni and stuff? If you took that and rubbed it on like a zit, you know, a pimple, I imagine that's kind of like what we're doing here, where we're just aggravating the fuck out of that thing, dude.
That sounds like what I tried to do in high school to get rid of my acne. It was.
Isn't that how you get acne?
I fucking didn't know at the time. Fast forward. You're all now,
that explains a
Web lot. WebMD. I told you they didn't have access to medical care back in the 60s, just like they did back in the 90s when I was.
What has? All right. So Dr. Guy is getting pressed and ready. Patty goes back out to the front. The officers are there. And then also at the same time, Mr. Sherman's like,
well, I've been here for an eternity.
Your appointment is at 2 o'clock. It's 12:20. That's not even early. That's just dumb.
I need this thing off me now, or else I'm going to walk out of here now. Oh, thank goodness. Ready?
No.
Okay. So Patricia brings the officers to the back into the room where Dr. Guy is, where Preston is, and they're ready to see it. But the officers are going off on Dr. Guy, and they're like, dude, you have 1 hour because we're not sitting through this bullshit
again.
If it doesn't work, this is the last chance you get. Like, this is it. It's all or nothing at this point. So here we go. And they sit down and he's like, all right, cool, 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 cool. And he starts to go through the procedure.
They fire up the machine, get all the things kind of going, set him back down on the table thinking like, all right. We're ready to go ahead and get this going.
But I thought this part was funny where he's prepping the machine. Dr. Guy's prepping the machine, but Preston, the intern, is like reading the booklet and he's explaining to the officers how this device is made and what it's intended to do.
Well, this new version of the Get Gone works so well that our trusty intern here, Presto, has volunteered to be our patient today. He'll be explaining the machine. Presto? Presto, just read it.
Yeah, this unit comes provided with an ultraviolet lightoscope tube, an interstellar processor, a warp combobulator.
A warp what?
Combobulator.
And a thermite compactor.
Look, if you want to follow along a little bit more, just read this. It's great information.
This unit comes with a patented quasar encapsulator. Yeah. This new unit features a patented...
That's not patented yet.
Look, this is the Get Gone patented vulcanized hyper vacuum.
Not patented.
That sucks the infected area down the glide tube into the patented anti-nuclear sac.
It's not patented.
Pending. Look, I gotta work on this machine.
So I thought that was just part of the presentation for the patent. Like,
or maybe
you gotta state the problem.
Yeah, but like, this isn't the first time they've seen this thing either. Yeah. So maybe it's different.
He's giving the impression that he's stalling. He's trying to be like, I'm not quite ready, but have you heard about the machine and what it does?
Yeah, true.
He starts using terms like the patented vulcanized, you know, whatever. And they're like, it's not patented. Not yet.
Okay, so it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. So they're like, all right, that's it. Time's up. And he's like, wait, you guys have only been here 15 minutes. And they're like, dude, it doesn't work. So like, no, we're leaving. This was your chance. And he's like, fuck that shit. I still have 45 minutes. So Patty, you take him across to go get some food. I'm going to work on the machine. And he kicks everybody out.
And being the 60s, everyone's hungry as fuck. So they're like, well, I'm going to take a free lunch. Of course.
Well, I mean, I take a free lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, where are we going? You know?
I mean, it don't matter.
Okay, so we go next door. Quick little diner scene. You know, we see the patent officers, all three of them, with Patricia. We're just kind of getting to know Patricia a little bit more. She is telling us it's her last day. She's going to retire. She's, you know, just got some plans to, like, just chill out. And I don't know about you, but in all the movies that I watch where somebody, it's their last day, usually doesn't end well.
No, I'm too old for this shit. <It's>
just... That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Lethal Weapon. But while they're sitting there, they're actually like interviewing Patricia, the nurse who went to lunch with them. And like, So has your arm healed from last time? They're asking questions.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Give us the lowdown. Like, what's really going on here?
She's like, yeah, it's cool, bro. It's cool.
How's those biscuits and gravy?
Grits, I think they were talking about getting grits.
One person got grits. One person got biscuits and gravy.
Okay, so now they're walking back into the meeting room or whatever. And Preston's just like sitting there, like with his head held low, like kind of sad and worried and lonely. And Patricia's trying to talk to him, but before she can actually talk to him, Dr. Guy pops right back up.
That's how I feel. Now, where's my lunch?
What?
My stomach's so dang empty. Where is it?
I didn't know.
Get on with it. What?
I didn't know you wanted me to get your lunch. No.
Oh, you didn't know, did you? You didn't know. Well, don't worry. I'll be just fine. Last day. Gonna miss you so much. Well, I hope you all had a nice lunch, because you know what? I didn't get one. But today is the day that you're gonna come here and see what you've all been waiting for. Patty, please show our guests to their seats.
And he's like, all right, I'm ready to go. You guys have a good lunch, because you're about to have a great show. So Dr. Guy is ready for his thing. He pulls the back open on Preston's gown, and this is where we see some gnarly-ass cis action going on, man.
How did he make this shit so fucking disgusting in 15 minutes? I swear.
It's that fucking juice he's got, dude.
Oh, my God. It's so gross.
Dude, it's pretty fucking gnarly.
If you've seen the poster or the fucking picture on this episode, this is what's on his back. It's
100%. 100%, dude. It's fucking gross. So now the tone of the room is different, right? Yeah. It's darker in there. Dr. Guy is a little off of his fucking rocker a little bit. Preston is like super depressed. Patty's worried about it. Dr. Guy's like, full send, bro. Let's go. Walks over to the Git gun, turns that motherfucker on. Grabs like the laser. I'll call it a laser pointer, because you just point and shoot the laser, and it starts to fucking burn some holes in Preston's back, in like to the point where the room is starting to fill with smoke, and it's starting to hurt. He's yelling out loud in pain. You can see it. You can hear it. He's got those like Doc Brown fucking mad scientist, like
welding
black
round goggles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he doesn't turn it down, though. He fucking turns it up to 11. Like, he's like, it's working.
And even when it wasn't, he's, you know, he went very hard in the paint and was like, oh, it's working, but it wasn't. So what does he do next to try to make it work?
He just jams the fucking gun right into it. Like, 2 inches away, that's not effective. Might as well be on it.
And he digs that shit all the way in his back, to the point where like Patty pushes him out of the way and is now trying to yank this fucking laser gun from out of the back of Preston. And what we don't really see off screen is that there's like a vacuum attached to that. So not only is it like Carter, like it's cutting the cyst, but it's also sucking those juices out. Yeah. It just reminds me of that Chappelle show where who was the crackhead?
Tyrone Biggins.
Where he was on Fear Factor.
I don't know if you know, Joe, but I smoke rock.
And the girl was eating like some like animal penis, and he's like, yeah, girl, get up all in there. Suck them juices up.
Yeah, that's right. But
that's what's happening here.
Yeah, the gun's sucking it right in.
Sucking them juices out. And the bag is starting to fill up.
Yeah, it's like a big old vacuum bag where you would gather like all the sawdust and shit or something.
Totally. So they get the gun out of Preston's back, but then the bag that's like collecting all the like shit.
One of the guys who from the patent office, he comes over to it thinking he's gonna like help, And he like pulls out a knife, like I'm gonna shut this down right now, thinking like cutting the bag is the solution. Little does he realize that once he cuts the bag, he just gets slimed.
Now we also missed the fact too that like as this vacuum is sucking all this shit out, it is literally sucking Preston's guts. It's sucking out all his insides into the bag. So like it does that, like his face does that thing where it just like collapses into itself and into the chest. And so you get the impression that this dude is fucking dead, right? And then when the patent officer hits the bag with the knife, that's where we get something that shoots out of it. And it hits the other patent officer through the head. And his head just fucking explodes. And I don't mean like it just like fell off his body. I mean the thing fucking explodes.
Boom.
I gotta say, for what you can tell is a low budget, like this is probably an Indiegogo type movie, it fucking delivers on the practical effects.
Oh, big time. Big time. And I think that the piece that goes flying, I may be wrong here, but I felt like it was the skull of Preston who got sucked into the fucking vacuum.
Oh, shit.
I felt like it was that because it comes shooting right out and boom, hits the dude in the head and he explodes. And then that cyst is on the ground and it's got like a eyeball in it. And it's got like, and then all these little legs come out and it's kind of like now
totally
like an
that.
Arachnid. At least that's what I thought, because it was at the same time that the head kind of collapses on itself.
Yeah, no, that makes total fucking sense, dude. I didn't even think about that.
So gross. So cool of effect, though. So cool.
Okay, so I got to say at this point, the person who's credited in Cyst for makeup, special effects, stuff like that, is a guy named Kyle Roberts. Kyle Roberts is also credited for working on some movies that you might know of. Mm. Terrifier 3.
Uh-huh.
Actually, that might be the only one. Hold on. I'm getting there. No, I thought there were some other ones. I thought he worked on something.
He was on Pinhead and stuff.
I think he did some special effects for Hellraiser. Yes.
Manhunt's legit.
He did a couple episodes of The Walking Dead. So like the dude knows what he's doing. He's worked on some really memorable shit, you know, some really top shelf shit. And just from watching this movie, all of it was great. Like, I don't think there was any part of it where I looked at it and was like, oh, that was done cheesy or whatever. Even just the fucking the cysts themselves in the beginning, when I was talking about having these big ass, you know, growths on the side of your neck, were done really well. So now this skull cyst growth thing that fucking blew this guy's head up starts attaching himself to the other patent officer, the only female. And then Patty and the doctor are like, fuck this noise, I'm getting out of here. And they jam out into one of the other rooms to kind of get away from everything that just fucking happened.
I like how the other female patent officer who shows up, she looks like she'd be on like the Golden Girls or something. Like she's so like old 60s, just like well put together. And what the fuck is this thing on the side of her face now holding on?
Like, totally.
Like, that has a good effect.
I think they're not remaking the Golden Girls, but they're making a show that is Golden Girls-esque.
Yeah, fuck you.
But it's gays. I think it's Nathan Lane's in it. It's the setup is the same. It's three friends and then one friend's mother that all live together in this house or whatever.
I love Golden Girls, but you don't need to redo it.
I'm not saying it's a direct like reboot of the Golden Girls, but it's very like adjacent to.
All right.
Anyways, that's not what this is about.
I'm getting that patent.
Dr. Patty making it into the other room. They panic and they hit the fucking button to put the hospital on lockdown. And this scares the old man in the lobby who's waiting for his appointment. So he runs out of the building just in time for like the steel door to come down. But it does it in such a way where it slices the cyst that's on the back of his neck off.
Which we never really saw what was going on. We knew he was there for a reason, but we didn't know why he was there.
And again, that's a large ass fucking growth, man. What is it about this town, these people, that time, that you have these big ass fucking nasty growths on you?
Ooh, that's a good question. So is it because of the fact we didn't have EPA governance and like Like, if you look at where this doctor's office is at, it looks like it's an industrial park. It looks pretty run down and gross. Is there some spill off?
You know, I was going to like...
Toxic Avengers.
I was going to like talk shit to you about how in-depth that thought is about this movie, but I set you up for it because I asked the question. So that's my bad. Okay. So Mr. Sherman makes it out, but also at the same time of getting his cyst cut, removed. Like sliced off.
It's a fucking softball size on the back of his neck.
It's pretty gross.
Perfectly sliced right
off. It's like if you filled a yarmulke with like tapioca pudding.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
And the cool thing is after it slices off, he walks outside and he goes, hey, it's gone. All right. totally. Guess I don't need that appointment after all.
Okay. But now the hospital is in lockdown mode. You know, steel doors, exactly. Steel shutters, all that stuff. They are locked in, right?
No. Yeah. Like bomb shelter, 60s, afraid of the nuclear bomb dropping, locked.
That's probably why it was there.
It is.
Right?
Why. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. So they go back and they check on the patent officer, and she still has got this big ass fucking growth or that skull cyst thing that's hanging onto her. And they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. So Patty runs back into the reception office, which is where Bill, the janitor, is, and Tammy, the receptionist, are. They're hiding out. So they're, you know, she's kind of catching them up on what has been happening so far. When they come out to go like check on the doctor and the patent officer, this is the first time we figure out that Bill's got a fucking gun. I don't know where he got that shit from.
I mean, he probably keeps him with the scalpel that he jacked.
You and that fucking scalpel, man.
Well, what I didn't understand, now this is me being too fucking technical, but what the fuck's Bill doing all tatted up on his hands in the 60s? Like, that shit would have been, he would have been a pariah.
I didn't even notice that either. See?
But that also shows how low budget it is. No reason to cover that shit up. Like, let's just keep rocking.
There you go. Okay, so they creep up on the room in which the doctor and the patent officer are in, and they're just trying to check out what's going on. And they come in, and the patent officer is like pleading with them to help her get that thing off of her.
Hell yeah, it's fucking huge.
So Bill tries shooting the thing. But all it does is put holes in it, and then like it shows you like the back of the thing, and so when the hole comes through, you can see through the hole. But then it's got like Wolverine powers where it just like instantly heals and regenerates. They're like, okay, so we can't kill it that way. So what does good old Dr. Guy do?
Well, turn on the get off machine. Get going.
I mean, she's got a cyst on her.
It's gotta get going.
And it's gotta get going. And that's what the get going is for. So let's get going with the get going.
Yeah, I think he's like, I'm not gonna turn on the vacuum this time. I'm just gonna turn the laser to fucking 11.
That was the problem the first time.
Of course.
Not the fact that you stuck it in this dude's back and turned it up to 11. It's that you had the vacuum on.
I think he even makes some comment like, if I get this off of you, I get my patent, right?
And she was like, whatever fuck you want, dude.
Not
you
get it off, the other and it's two guys all are dead.
Right. Not just dead, but like this thing shot through this dude's dome and it blew up. In the same way that Gallagher would smash a watermelon, this thing fucking busted through this guy's skull.
Talk about an old reference, Gallagher. Come on.
Oh, all the kids will get that one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Again, another Chappelle moment where they did Black Gallagher, and he just fucking shot the watermelon, and it killed somebody in the audience, and they're like, oh, my God, he killed somebody.
He's so funny.
And he just dropped the gun, and he ran out, and I got warrants, and he just fucking left. Anyways, okay, so they use the get gun. It comes off. And she's like, oh my God.
It worked. It worked. Oh, Dr. Guy, as soon as I get out of here, I am going to sign that patent paperwork.
You made it?
You fucking saved me. You're going to get your patent. And the doctor's like, for reals? You're not joshing with me? And she's like, fuck yeah, dude. And I think her last words were, as I live and breathe.
And then she stops living and breathing. The sis just comes right back. It's like, I want some more of what I had before. Yum, yum, give me some. And then she's like wanderingly, aimlessly around the hall, like back and forth, while the fucking doctor and the nurse are just arguing about, like, you can't do this. And she's just like, you can tell she's out of it. Like, looking like, where do I go now? What do I do? Like, I'm under control of this fucking cyst.
Oh, I thought she was dead.
No, no. She's still wandering around in the background, bro.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Watch.
So I don't see her.
Wait, wait, wait. Watch. Watch in the background. See her?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you're right. It does show her kind of drifting in the background, moving from one room out into the hallway. And that's where Bill, the maintenance guy, like shoves her into a room.
Yeah, locks her in the closet.
So I will say, just because I'm drunk, there was like a 2-hour gap between like us arguing about whether or not she was in the background to where we're at now. And she's there.
I almost wish you just hit fucking pause and then re-record.
Sorry. We'll do it live. That's what happens when you do it live.
Lord.
Okay. So the patent officer is walking around. Bill shoves her into like a storage closet or some other room. And now the group is talking about like, okay, we need to get the fuck out.
Yeah. You got to get out of that joint.
So Patricia, the nurse, takes charge and is like,
is there an exit?
And they try to make their way to the door. What does that mean? And this is where we're finding out that like, sorry, we're kind of on lockdown, so no, there's no exit.
I mean, it is like the most military grade lockdown I've ever seen.
Dude, it's the 60s, Cold War, like, you know, you got to prepare for it and the whole nine. So they're like, okay, so we're here, right? So what are we going to do? I did see the tattoo ends now. There you go.
Like, yeah, what the fuck? You ain't going to be...
That's a dope shot, right? So Agreed. Now we're panning on the door in which... holds the patent officer in the room.
And they're using that Dutch angle right there. I don't know if you're familiar.
Is that the double Dutch rudder?
It's not quite like that, but it's it's where you're going ahead and you create tension and you create this like feel by being lower on the ground and filming up at an awkward angle.
It's not just that though. It's like the slow pan forward. To like just kind of create some tension there, right?
Mm-hmm. In addition to the Dutch angle.
Correct. Yes. In addition to the double Dutch rudder. Yes. So they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Should we go in? Do we wait for her to come out? Like, what are we going to do, right? The group is Dr. Guy, Patricia the nurse, Bill the janitor, and then Tammy the receptionist. But before they can actually decide and make a move, what happens?
Out of the fucking closet comes this much, much bigger version of the fucking cyst.
Oh, it's fucking like human size, right? Like the thing is on two legs. It busts through the door. Like it's ready to fucking attack.
It reminds me of that hairy dude from the Muppets. Sweetum.
So this is where I'm going to provide some clarification. I was talking earlier about Tyler Russell being like the special makeup special effects kind of guy. He is also attributed as being the guy in the suit for the cyst. He is the guy in the cyst outfit now. And it's just this massive fucking growth with other growths on it. It's just fucking gnarly. So now the group is freaking out. Like, what the fuck are we gonna do? That thing is massive. They go and end up hiding in one room, but Bill goes into another room.
I mean, he's got a gun, right?
Well, he does, but obviously even with the skull cyst, it didn't do shit. So the gun isn't going to do anything. Plus, like, he's not Jack Bauer or fucking Snake from Metal Gear. He doesn't have infinite ammo. You know what I mean? And I haven't seen the dude reload, so that's more accurate than those two things I just mentioned.
True that.
But he's in another room. And so while the three of them, the nurse, the doctor, and the receptionist are in one room, they're seeing through the window into the next room where Bill's just like getting like an onslaught of attacks from the cyst.
They take him down. They drag him across the ground. You get that whole bloody trail. And then what shows up at the door?
I'll do it. Dude, it's just a fucking massive eyeball. It's almost like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, where it's just the eye in the window. Except this thing is a fucking growth and it looks nasty as fuck.
And it's a weird ass eyeball, dude. Like I went online and I Googled animal eyes, because I was like, what is this? I thought it was an octopus eyeball. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it. It's so weird the way shape of the iris. Nothing in the animal kingdom matches.
Nice.
Fucking naturally matches.
Nice. Yeah, so at this point, they're still scrambling. Like, we got to save Bill. I think we didn't mention it, but I think there's a little bit of a thing between Patricia the nurse and Bill the janitor.
You think so?
I thought so. There was a little bit, like, I don't know. I got some, like, loose vibes from Patricia, because I think she was also crushing on one of the patent officers as well, like the younger guy with the blonde hair.
I can see that.
I think he was the first one to die.
He fell behind the fucking vacuum and.
Yes. And then the second one was the older guy who got the skull through the skull. And then there's the other one.
Who became the lady. The cyst.
Is that what happened?
I mean, it seems like the cyst took over and is now like used her body to grow and become who it is.
Makes sense. Like a host.
Yeah.
So really, they're just arguing about, do we save Bill? Do we not save Bill? Like, what do we do? Because they're in separate rooms.
And I mean, there is a full-out knockdown, drag-out fight that goes down.
Oh, yeah. Saying that they were arguing about it is putting it lightly, because Patricia and the doctor break out into a full-on fucking fist fight. And I got to tell you, this scene caught me by surprise. When the nurse picked up and threw a fucking mug at the doctor and it just busted over his head, I was like, oh, damn. But then what does he do? It is her last day, yeah. He literally just fucking swings back and punches her. And I was like, oh, shit. And then they started going at it, right? To the point where, like, he fucking Indiana Joneses her with a stethoscope and, like, wraps that stethoscope around her legs to, like, pull her down. They're kicking each other. They're punching each other. They're literally on top of each other, fighting each other. And what does he say to her?
I don't remember, but I remember her grabbing the fucking little, like, hammer that you test the fucking
reflex
on the leg, and kicks him in the face.
He tells her, I love you. And she's like, I hate you.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, where the fuck did that come from, right? Like, out of nowhere, because, like, it's just been this disdain between the two of them on this day. And maybe that's because it's her last day and he's upset that, like, she's leaving or whatever. Or maybe he's always, I don't know. But that shit came out of left field.
I mean, she's a little thicky, you know?
All right. Like, I see you.
You know.
I see you.
You spend 8 hours a day with that. You know, you say, what's up? If you weren't married, and, you know.
Okay. So now that it's all over with, they're like, all right, I'm cool. You cool. We cool. We got it out of our system. Bitch. Let's get back to the original issue, which is, how the fuck are we going to get out of here? We're locked down.
So you're sure there's no way to reverse the lockdown?
Only in case of emergencies.
What? And they're like, are you fucking kidding me? You can override it this whole time? And he's like, well, yeah, I'm like, I'm not an idiot. Like, yeah, I got this, like, you know, bomb shelter-esque feature, but, like, there's an override.
I mean, if you go to the basement.
Who wants to go to the basement, bro?
I mean, in the 60s, nobody.
If you go to the basement and flip the switch, all the shutters come up and we can literally walk the fuck out.
Oh, that's it?
Which leads me to wonder, like, okay, if you guys walk the fuck out, what about the cis monster? Like, doesn't that walk out too, you know? Like, are you just going to pretend it never happened? You're going to go home and get a good night's sleep? Like, what are you going to do?
I mean, if you lock it down, get out. Like,
okay, so they're trying to figure out who's going to go to the basement and flip the switch, right? Kind of like, again, Jurassic Park. Someone's got to walk over and turn the power on and, okay, I'll do it.
So just like grabbers.
Ah, true. So Patricia goes downstairs and we get creepy vibes from the downstairs. I thought they did a really good job with the low light, a lot of the fogger stuff, just really kind of upping the creepy factor in the basement.
And they show you that, like, it looks like the cyst kind of had made their way that way because of the snail trail that's left on the ground.
There is snail trail around. A lot of darkness. Patricia's looking for the switch. But what did she also see down there? There was like an extra get gone machine down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple of them. The other one doesn't work. This one does, maybe, right?
Or maybe it was the one that fucked her up the first time around.
Oh, maybe. But either way, I think the sequence of her walking through the basement and trying to find stuff was a little bit longer. I think when I watched it, I ended up kind of thinking to myself, like, this is too long.
You can get there already.
Yeah, but I think it does a really good job too, like setting the precedence of what's going to happen, because as she's going through all the different rooms, you see those snail trails, you see like oozy stuff kind of on the walls and dripping down, and she's trying to like make heads and tails of like what she's seeing until she finally finds the switch to override all the like steel shutters. But not before she notices the snail trail of ooze that is right next to that thing.
Yeah, it's sliming all down the wall, which makes you wonder, like, how on earth is it sliming down the wall? Like, why is it sliming down the wall? What's down here?
Right.
Am I not alone?
Now, from there, we pan over and back up to the room where the doctor and the receptionist are. And the receptionist starts to talk to the doctor about, you know what? I think I can turn this monster around.
You're hurt, aren't you? Maybe it just wants to be wanted. Or loved.
What?
Come here, sis. I know how you feel. All those days you just want some loving and no one wants you clinging on. I'm clingy too. It just means we care a little bit more than others.
Tammy, no, that's a bad idea. No, Tammy, no.
It's okay. He's not gonna hurt me. I can see it in his eye.
Think you are.
Come here, baby.
I think it just needs some love.
Aww.
Right? Like, I think it notices or realizes that people just want it to die, right? That's, nobody wants assist. So she starts approaching it, talking to it like, I got you. I hear you. I see you. I too don't, you know, get along with a lot of people. I just want to be loved. I can be clingy like you are because you're a fucking cis and you literally cling to people.
Parasite motherfucker.
So she's getting close to it and you can see this cis thing is like, is it really? Right? Like, it's not attacking her and it's like looking at her and like they do a really good job of making it feel like the cis is like understanding what the receptionist is doing. While at the same time, we're kind of going back and forth between what's happening in that room and what's happening down in the basement with Patty. And she's just trying to make her way back up to where they are to try to help. And then they pan back to the room and Tammy is coming up on the cis monster.
See, it's working.
Yeah, totally, right? She's getting closer and closer and closer until she fucking tries to like come at the thing with a pair of scissors that she was hanging behind her hand, and the cis monster reacts too fast.
You can't be coming with me. If you're gonna bring love. Don't come with that bullshit.
But instead it brings her closer and pretty much is like throwing up on her, and her skin's burning because of like his tentacles or its tentacles or whatever it is, and it just like brings her in and he like absorbs her.
Yeah, it like wraps the tentacle around and it's like burning off her arm at the same time. Like, so it's got like some type of fucking xenomorph blood and shit that it's bringing to the table.
What do they call that smell? Colitas, right? The warm smell of colitas.
Oh, you're talking about the song.
Hotel California.
Hotel California. That's the smell of burning corpses.
Yeah. Okay, so Patty makes her way back upstairs only to see the monster absorbing the receptionist and then grabs the doctor and they go back into another room and they're trying to like MacGyver the get gone.
Right. You got to step it up. 11 ain't enough. You got to go to like 20.
So as they're like trying to get the machine up and running, the doctor like leaves her in the room. So now Dr. Guy and Patty the nurse are in two separate rooms.
Looking at each other through that fucking window.
And what happens is, what we get the vibe of is the doctor left Patty in that room to die.
Of course he did. He makes it clear. He's like, this is your last day. I loved you so much. Goodbye.
Those are the words, but what is the action he took to show her that she's not getting out of that room?
Fucking swallows the goddamn key.
He swallowed the fucking key like it's a fucking Bugs Bunny cartoon, dude.
That's all, folks.
Now, at the same time, she's getting riled up. She's getting pissed. She's like, I can't believe you did this shit to me type look. There's all this ooze coming out of the vent.
Would it be the secret of the ooze?
No, it's not a secret because we already know what it is.
Oh, yeah. It's just the ooze coming out of the
vent. Good call. Good call back. And so she is understanding that the monster is going to be coming through that fucking vent and he's on the other side clean and safe. And so what does she do in a panic?
I mean, she starts MacGyvering some shit.
So, yeah. So she literally takes the ooze that Dr. Guy had created to like help grow the cyst and puts it in a rubber glove, right? And she smashes that rubber glove under the door that separates the two rooms and she smashes it so that it explodes and it covers Dr. Guy in this ooze, which is, I guess, acting as like an attractant for the cyst monster. So the cyst monster, instead of coming down in the room that Patty's in, it breaks through the room that Dr. Guy is in.
And then eats him from the toes to the fucking dome.
And not even in like a quick fashion. Like we see, it's almost like a snake eating a mouse or whatever.
Yeah.
Like we see it just like bringing it in to whatever it is, whatever fucking feed hole that thing has. It's bringing it in and she's watching all of this live happen as it's going on. And she's freaking the fuck out.
That doesn't last long though.
It doesn't, right? So she comes back over, checks through the window, sees the wet spot where some of the blood is, some of that ooze
where
is.
Where he once was.
That's correct for sure. And she's trying to figure out like, okay, what's the situation now? So she looks back up at the vent and all that ooze is still coming back down.
Even a new wave of fucking ooze.
So she's scrambling now because the monster is coming through. She knows it's going to come through. And as soon as it does, she grabs the laser gun for the get gone to try to like kill it. And I got to say, at this point, you should kind of realize that like as big as this thing is and as many people as it's been eating, you got to know that that little laser ain't going to do shit.
Right, right. I feel like you just got to take out that eyeball. You got to get there.
So what did she do?
Well, earlier in the movie, she had talked about how she had been doing some metal work.
It's your last day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Bet you're happy.
So what are you going to do now?
I might start selling my own jewelry.
You make jewelry? I'd love to see something you've designed.
Dr. Guy is wearing a copper bracelet around his wrist. I made it for him.
And how she created some bracelets by doing some twisting of like copper and stuff. Like, you know, like you might wear to relieve some arthritis or something, wearing one of those like copper bracelets. And she sees inside of the fucking tumor or the cyst is this big fucking bracelet sticking out. And she's like, uh-uh.
Give that back.
Well, I think what happens is in that scene in the diner where she's like sitting with the patent officers, she mentions to them that she makes this jewelry.
Yep.
And she made one for Dr. Guy. So when the cis monster ate Dr. Guy, it's just kind of hanging out right there. And so when she saw it, that's when she was like, nope. that's mine. And then, like, in the Indiana Jones fashion, she just reached in, grabbed some fucking tissue or whatever, and pulled that shit out. And, like, it just ended up, like, collapsing the cis monster.
No, the fucking eyeball comes out with it. So she's, like, standing there holding this eyeball now, like, with the fucking everything in her hand.
That's right. It's almost like a Mortal Kombat fatality where, like, you just pull, like, the skull out with, like, the spinal cord or whatever, right?
Exactly.
The ocular cavity, if you will. And she's holding it in one hand, and with the other hand, she's got the laser for the get gun, and she fucking just blasts it right in the eye, and the shit explodes.
She looks down at her arm, and her arm's fucked up because, like, it's got that, like, xenomorph fucking blood and shit.
Yeah, it's all roasty toasty, like, scarred up for sure, man. And then, so when it explodes, because it's ate the doctor, she also finds the key for the room that the doctor swallowed. So she's using the key to try to get out of the room. But what's still alive is that skull fucking cis monster thing. And as it comes at her, she just, like, fucking Pele kicks the shit out of that thing, right? And she, I think she, like, even opened up some, like, gas tubes in there or something. Like, I don't know what she set up, but she set up something for it to explode in the room. So when she left the room, there's a little bit of an explosion in the room, and it busts a hole through the door or through one of the walls or whatever. So she just assumes that the fucking thing is dead, and then she walks through the wall, and then she's like the lone survivor. It kind of reminds me of Feast, where the old woman fucking barricaded herself in the fridge and let all that shit happen. And then when it was all over, she just popped out and was like, oh, it's over? All okay, right. I'm leaving. But the difference is in Feast, she still ended up getting eaten. In this case, Patricia just ends up walking away, and we roll credits to watch her walk into the sun, and it's all good.
With her fucking dead hand and shit. Like...
That's a strong hand.
Yeah, I survived.
Take a strong hand. So she's, you know, they focus in on her. She's got this look on her face like, oh, I'm the lone survivor. I can't believe it. I'm so strong. I'm a warrior. She walks down the road. The credits start to roll. It's over.
Yeah, right.
Right?
I mean, if you want it to be over.
This is the point in which most people are getting up, leaving the movie. Like, it's over.
The cool effect that I feel here, though, is that they lock in on this shot of her walking down the, like, alleyway, and they continue to show her walking down the alleyway as they're rolling credits, which led you to believe there's still a little bit more after,
like,
this.
Yeah, like, hold up for a second. Like, yeah, it's not, like, all the way done.
But this effect is cool. Like, I think it's cool the way that they play that out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it's hard, right? Because this is not a movie where you expect, like, an after credit scene, right?
Not at all.
It's not a Marvel movie, so, like, why am I going to stick around for it? But if you're still showing me stuff, like, is something going to happen when she gets to the end of that road? Like,
it's like a mutant city horror production where there's a little secret at the end. If you haven't caught on.
I've got those. I've got those. Okay. So she makes her way down the road, but then what we do is we pan back into the medical facility, and we're looking around, and it shoots over to that steel door at the main entrance, which, if you remember, this is where the old man had walked out.
Mr. Sherman.
Right as the door came down, so it sliced that big ass fucking growth off the back of his neck. But it's also sitting in those juices, the vial of the growth hormone or whatever the fuck you want to call it that Dr. Guy had created. And now it moves a little bit and then we're done.
So that goo, though, was actually curated by Patricia. And she, before she leaves, she, like, rolls it down the hallway.
Where'd she get it from?
Well, she collected it. I think
down in the basement is where she might have collected
it. She collected it. But, like, she goes to roll it down the hallway on her way out. Like, fucking, I don't want this. Like, leave that there. And then we find it ended up at the fucking cyst of
it was either
Mr. Sherman.
Down in the basement, or when she filled that glove full of the goo,
that's
to put it onto where she's like stepped on it and it smashed all over the doctor and it attracted the cis monster to the doctor. So I don't think they really showed where like she filled up that vial, but she had that vial. And I think there was a scene where like she threw it down the hallway to see if something would happen. Nothing happened. But what did happen was it became uncorked and it sat it as kind of like a base for that growth. And then it moved. And now we're led to believe that there's more to come.
Part two.
D-E-U-X, do? Hell yeah. Produce.
And then they have some cool like B-roll of like some outtakes and shit at the end, which are worth watching. So if you get a chance, like hang with it. Anyways, fucking great one. We needed a creature flick. Here's a fucking creature flick, homie.
Yeah, I tried to, like, IMDb doesn't really have a lot on it. I tried to look at Indiegogo to see if maybe it had a campaign at one time or whatever. I don't see really anything about it. IMDb does credit two different directors, though. One is Tyler Russell, the one that we talked about. The other one...
You're talking about the other writer? There's a co-writer. Oh,
it's a writer.
Yeah, there's a co-writer, Andy Silverman.
Co-writer. So Tyler Russell directed and wrote, well, wrote it and directed it. And then Andy Silverman was the one who co-wrote it. Yeah. And I don't really know him for a lot either. But I don't know. This was, it's an hour 10, hour 15 maybe at the most.
Yeah.
It's really fucking fun, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
It's real like juicy in that like there's a lot of like juices that go on with like the popping of the cyst and like just the ooziness. And again, It really kind of engaged the gag reflex for me that I didn't think that I had until I watched this thing. So that was awesome to see.
I knew you had a gag reflex.
Come on. Secrets. You gotta save something for the imagination. But yeah, no, this one was a fun one for sure, dude. For sure.
All right. Well, I mean, another good time. Another great flick. Can't wait for the next.
It's going to be a good one. I know it because I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, shit.
Well, I was. All right, brother. Good times. Check us on Instagram at Mutant City Horror. Make sure you check out all the shit for the Happy Fright Film Festival going down October 18th and 19th in Fillmore. HappyFrightFilmFest.com. Check the Instagram at Mutant City Horror to find out all the details. And we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
Nope. Start over.